This chazar zeichin is a bachas of shag v'mihul mezechas chul and daf samach tes. Fakem Rabbi Chanina asks, what's the halacha if the fetus of a carbon stuck out its leg from its mother in the azara? Do we say since the azara is a boundary for purposes of shechting the carbon, it also acts as a boundary for the fetus as well, and that leg may therefore be eaten? Or do we say that for purposes of the fetus, the boundary is its mother, and therefore the leg may not be eaten? So Abaye, the Mori answers that Abaye asks, you should have the same question regarding an animal that cuts a column that's inside the walls of Yerushalayim and it sticks out its foot beyond Yerushalayim. The walls. The reason you don't ask that is because you feel that the walls of Yerushalayim are only boundaries for the purpose of the carbon, not for the purpose of the fetus. The same is true regarding the walls of the Azara. Ilfa asks, what's the halacha of the fetus stuck out its leg between the shkita of the first siman and the second siman? Is the cutting of the two simanim combined for purposes of saying that it prevents the leg from becoming tameh as an avela or not? Rav said, we can make a kavachem if the cutting of the two simanim combined to allow the meat to be eaten certainly combines to prevent the leg from becoming tameh as an avela. Rabbi Yirmi asks, if a ben pakua it had stuck out its leg before the shechita, and this ben pakua then grew up and produced offspring of its own, is the leg of the offspring also like the leg of its ben pakua father? What's the case? If the mother of this new offspring was a regular animal, not a bas pakua, then there's a problem even if the father had not stuck out his leg from his mother. Because our Mishashi has said that according to the view that an offspring is considered to be the offspring of the father as well, the offspring of a father who was a ben pakua cannot become mutter to be eaten. As Marav Yirmiya is referring to a case where the animal, meaning the ben pakua, that had stuck out its leg of its mother before the shechita was a father, and a bas pakua was the mother. The question is, do we say that each limb of the offspring is created by the corresponding limb of the father, and therefore the leg of the offspring would be also like that of the father, so you have to cut it off and then you can eat the rest of the animal? Or do we say that the zera of the father is mixed into the entire being of the offspring and therefore the entire offspring is also? Later he said it's obvious that the zera of the father is mixed into the entire offspring, into the entire being of the offspring, because if not, then every blind animal should only have offspring that are blind. Every lame animal should only have offspring that are lame. Rather, his question is, every animal is born from a father that has usher parts of him, chelev, blood, and yet this doesn't make the offspring usher. So do we say the same thing over here with the usher leg? It's no different than chelev and blood. Or do we say that the offspring is only mutter when there are two yisurim that contribute to the development, chelev and blood and dam, but not when there are three yisurim, which is over here, the third thing over here being the leg of the father of ben pakua? According to who would this question apply? It can't apply according to Rameh because he says that a fully developed ben pakua found in a shechted cow needs its own shechita, and therefore there would not be an issur regarding its leg that was stuck out. It also can't apply according to Rabbi Yehuda because he says that there's no issur of chelev on a ben pakua. According to both, there is never a situation when there are three issurim. Rather, Zakumar, we certainly do not say that the offspring of the ben pakua that stuck out its leg would be usur. The question that was asked is if a bas pakua had stuck out its leg and from its mother before the mother shechita, and that bas pakua then matured, can you still drink its milk? Do we say that all milk of a cow is somewhat like eva menachaya, and yet it's mutter, and this case there was no different? Or do we say that in a normal case the isser on the cow can be rectified with a shechita, but this animal's isser, the leg that was stuck out, cannot be rectified like that? Take ublakta shayla. Mishnah said, how do we know that if one cut off a piece of the fetus and left it inside the mother and then shechted the mother, that the piece becomes mutter and with the mother's shechita? As more, the pasuk says, "V'chol behema mafresos parso ba behema." The words behema ba behema, an animal within an animal, come to include a fetus found in a shechted mother as being mutter. Correct. The Gemara, if a fetus is referred to as an animal behema, then why does the Mishnah say that a fetus cannot be the subject of tamura? And for more, rather, the drasha to permit a fetus found in a shechted mother is based on the word v'chol behema, but the fetus itself is not referred to as an animal. If the word v'chol teaches that anything found in the shechted animal is mutter, even if he cuts off a piece of the animal's spleen or kidneys and leaves it inside after the shechita, until after the shechita, the piece should be mutter, and yet the Mishnah said it's not. And tomorrow, the word oiso in the pasuk excludes a piece of the animal itself. If the word v'chol teaches that anything found in the shechted animal is mutter, then even if someone finds something that looks like a dove in a shechted cow, it should be mutter. Why did Rabbi Yochanan say it's oser? And tomorrow, the fetus must have hooves to be mutter, and this thing doesn't have hooves. If so, if a fetus that doesn't have split hooves is found in a shechted cow, it should be oser. If tomorrow, Bryce is taught by the Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel, follows the view of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that who dash in the pasuk parsa be behema techel, to teach that even if the fetus has one hoof, meaning not split hooves, it's mutter. So Akamar Rav Simi Bar Ashi said the drasha that permits the fetus is, as we stated originally, behema ba behema. The reason why the Mishnah says a fetus cannot be the subject of tamura is because the Mishnah follows the view of Rav Shimon, who compares tamura to animal meiser. Just like animal meiser doesn't apply to a fetus, tamura does not apply to a fetus either. Akamar, how do we know this is the view of Rav Shimon? And tomorrow the Mishnah regarding tamura says that Rav Yosi responds to a tana that he presumably is discussing with, that one should be able to make even a limb Temura, since we find that if one gives one leg of an animal as an oily, the entire animal becomes an oily. The same should therefore apply to Temura. Now, who is he reporting to? It can't be Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yehuda, because they say in a Braisa that in that case, the animal would not become an oily. Rather, it must be that he was responding to Rav Shimon, who says in the Braisa that the entire animal would become an oily. We see that Rabbi Yossi knew that Rav Shimon held that Temura does not apply to limbs or fetuses. The Gemara says it's not approved. It may be that Rabbi Yossi was making a statement or was not responding to the previous Tana. Therefore, the Tana's reason for not applying Temura to a limb or fetus may not be based on a comparison to Maisa, but may instead be based on the fact that he holds that a fetus is not an animal. Zok, the next mission, if an animal is having a difficult labor with his first child, which would therefore be a Bechor, one may cut off each limb as it comes out of the womb and throw it to the doors, because it does not get the Kedusha of a Bechor until the majority, or the head, comes out of the womb. If the majority came out of the hole of the womb hole, and then a person cut it up, it has to be buried. The mother's next offspring is Potter from being a Bechor. Zachtimar, if a third of a Bechor came out of the womb and the owner sold it to a guy, and then another third came out, Rehuda says that's Kedushas Bechor, because he holds that once the majority is born, it becomes Kedush retroactively to when any of it was born, which means that he had no right to sell it to the guy when the third was already born. Rabbi says it's not Kedushas Bechor, because he holds that it only gets Kedush from that point and forward, and therefore when one third was born, he still had the right to sell it to the guy. They follow their views of elsewhere, where Bechor was born one third through a cesarean section and two thirds through natural birth. In which case, Rav Huna says it's not a Bechor. Rabbi says it is. Rav Huna holds that we look at it retroactively, and at the point that a majority was born, the majority was born less than 50% from the womb. Therefore, it's not a Bechor. Rabbi says we look at it from this point forward, and since there was a majority that was born from the womb, it becomes Kaddish at that point in time. And going forward. Both cases are needed, Mara says, because if we only had the first case, we would think that Rav Huna holds that way over there because saying like Rabba leads to a Kula. But in the second case, where Rabba leads to a Chumra, maybe Rav Huna agrees with him. If we only had the second case, we would think that Rabba only holds like him over there because it leads to a Chumra, but in the first case, where at least his view leads to a Kula, we would think that maybe he agrees with Rav Huna. Therefore, both cases are needed. In fact, Mara Armisha says, if an animal is having difficult labor with his first child, which would mean that child will be a Bechor, one may cut off each limb as it comes out of the womb and throw it to the dogs. Presumably, this means because he cuts off the pieces and leaves them lying there and then throws them to the dogs altogether once he's done cutting. Now, according to Rav Huna, we should say that it becomes retroactively Kaddish as a Bechor and therefore needs to be buried. And for the Mara, the case is that he cuts each piece and immediately throws it to the dog before cutting the next piece. In fact, more, that means that if he would leave them there without throwing each one to the dog as it's cut, he would have to bury them. If so, when the Mishnah wants to contrast and give a case of where the Bechor would have to be buried, instead of giving the case of where majority emerged whole, why doesn't it continue to give the case of where it was cut into pieces, but where the pieces are still lying there? And for the more, that's actually what the Mishnah is saying. The Mishnah is saying that if the pieces are lying there together, it's as if the majority emerged whole, and the pieces therefore would have to be buried.